Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Daniel, chapter 1. Daniel, chapter 1. We'll read verses 6 through 12 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Daniel, chapter 1, verses 6 through 12. Daniel, chapter 1, verses 6 through 12. Now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, but with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse likening than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Let's finish on verse 12 together. Ready? Prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you do for us here in our church. Lord, our preacher's right. This is just like our family getting together 3 times a week. Just because we are family, Lord, we need you as our Father to come today, though, and speak to us. You have chosen our preacher to be your mouthpiece. Fill him with your power, with your words. May we have our ears and our heart open to hear what you have for us today, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
It is the beginning of the year, and of course, at this time of the year, many people make New Year's resolutions. People make plans for their new year. And in a small way, I'll talk to you about that very thing today. We're going to use the story of Daniel to get us started and as the foundation of what I want to say. Of course, the story of Daniel, his life, is one of the best known Bible stories, and most people know about the occurrences of Daniel's life, some of the highlights of Daniel's life. Of course, the Hebrews were carried into captivity. That captivity was called the Babylonian captivity. We've heard the story of Daniel and him being placed in the lion's den, and what an incredible story. They expected that he would be eaten by the lions, but God protected him and delivered him, and he used those lions as a pillow as he rested through the night, and God delivered him, and the people were amazed. Not only that, we've heard the story of Daniel interpreting of the king's dream. The king had had a dream and had his wise men try to help him to understand it, but God gave Daniel insight, and Daniel was able to interpret the dream. We've heard the story of Daniel interpreting this strange writing, the handwriting on a wall, and he was able to tell them exactly what that handwriting meant. The three Hebrew boys that were associated with Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and how they were threatened and told if they did not deny their God and worship the God of the Babylonians, that they would be thrown into a burning fiery furnace. And they would not deny, they would not bow to the false God. And the Bible says that these three young men were thrown into that burning fiery furnace. But when those that threw them in looked, they said it looks like there are four people in that furnace. And the fourth looks as if it's the Son of God. And the truth is, God was in there in that furnace with them, and they were delivered out of that furnace. You talk about a lot of things happening in the lifetime of a man. These things all happen in association with Daniel. It's just incredible, all the things that happened. I mean, you talk about a guy that had some stories in his old age. Talk about somebody that had an eventful ministry. Daniel's was exactly like that. Daniel's captor, the king, favored Daniel so much. And after Daniel going through trial after trial after trial, opportunity after opportunity, here he is. He's supposed to be a slave. He's from a foreign country. He's brought in as a slave. But Daniel carried himself so well during the opposition. Daniel was so wise. The hand of God was upon Daniel. And the king of that country says, I'm going to appoint, I think it is three different kings to help me, or three different presidents, if you will, to help me oversee my country, and I'm going to make Daniel the top president under me. And just amazing. Now, let me tell you a little something about maybe why Daniel's ministry was so amazing, and there's so many stories that we could tell. One little episode right at the beginning of that captivity is what I want to draw your attention to today. In Daniel chapter 1, verse number 8, and I'm not going to read it to you again. You read it just a moment ago with Brother Bush's help. In the beginning of Daniel's captivity, he was with his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And what happened is, in that captivity, they had wanted these Hebrew boys to eat of the meat of the king. And they wanted to give them a particular meal. Well, the Bible says that Daniel had purposed in his heart that he would not eat that food. Now, the Bible says Daniel had decided that he would not defile himself with the meat from the king's table. Now, I can, if I may, I'll describe to you a little bit why. I often wondered, as a younger Christian and through the years, why would Daniel not be willing to eat that food, particularly the meat from the king's table? There's probably three possibilities, and it really doesn't matter why, but Daniel had purpose in his heart that he didn't want to eat that meat. Well, first of all, it could have been pork. Now, the Jewish people did not eat pork back then. Now, pork is no longer considered a meat that you can't eat or I can't eat, and I like pork. We had back home when I was growing up, we had these things called peach fried pork fritters. And it was a little bit of minced up pork inside breading, and you deep fry it. And listen, I can eat anything deep fried. I could probably eat a brick if it were deep fried and had crust on it, you know. But maybe it was that, maybe it was pork that was being placed on the king's table. And Daniel said, I'm sorry. At that time in history, scripturally, and as a Christian, Daniel said, right now, that's not doable. I can't eat that. Or maybe it was, back then, they didn't always bleed their meat out. In other words, they would strangle their meat. And they wouldn't take the blood out of it, and then as they would cook it, it would have a lot of blood in it. Now, when I go get a steak, I don't like it rare. Brother Bush, you like yours rare. Boy, if it's bleeding, he's biting. Me, I'd rather, you know, I don't mind it being pink and soft, but I don't want to look like I'm a vampire when I'm done eating, you know. When I shoot a deer, which is not often enough, but when I do shoot a deer, we bleed her out and we let that blood out of it. But it might have been because back then they sometimes strangled their meat instead of cutting it and letting it bleed out. It could have been because it was pork. More than likely, though, the reason why Daniel said, I'm not going to eat that meat. Remember, Daniel is a captive, a Hebrew captive. He's brought in from a foreign country. He's now in a land that worships false gods. He is a slave to them. They're trying to give him food from their table, trying to keep them healthy and strong so they can work hard as slaves. And Daniel says, I'm not going to eat the meat. Probably the third reason, though, that, and probably the reason I think most that Daniel would not eat that meat, is often what would happen is they had their false gods. And they would take animal sacrifices and sacrifice them to their false gods, and then they would take the meat from those sacrifices and give it to the king and the king's household, because they would sacrifice to their god the finest of the flocks, and then they would give it to the king to eat. And I think Daniel did not want to eat meat that had been sacrificed to a false god. I think he felt like that would defile him, that'd cause him to be participating in false religion or putting his stamp of approval on it. Now, that's not the issue today. The issue is the Bible says that Daniel had purposed in his heart that he would not eat that meat. The meat is not the issue. The eating is not the issue today. It is the fact that Daniel had purposed. He had purposed. What does that mean? He had set a goal. In Daniel's heart, he had set a goal either to do something or to not do something. But I want you to notice that Daniel had he had set a goal. And so you know, he also had accomplished that goal. So Daniel had set a goal not to do something, and he had accomplished that goal. Now, so you know, the word goal does not appear in the Bible. The word goal in the Bible, if you were looking for a word like the word goal, it could be the word desire. The Bible says in Proverbs 13:19, the desire accomplished is sweet to the soul. Now, God doesn't need me to reword the Bible. We got too many people fiddling with it. We don't need to rewrite it. We just need to reread it. But you could use the word goal there. They're somewhat the same, not identical, where it says the desire accomplished is sweet to the soul. That is saying a goal accomplished is sweet to the soul. And anybody here that's ever set a goal and reached that goal, it is a sweet feeling, it's a rewarding feeling to have achieved or to have reached that goal. But the word desire from time to time in the Bible would be like our word a goal. Goals or desires or purposes, we see that Daniel had purposed in his heart. In other words, he set a goal in his heart. He had a desire in his heart. Whatever you want to call it, desires, goals, or purposes, it does not matter. We would use the word ambition. You and I have certain ambitions, or we have certain endeavors that that we would like to take upon ourselves. But the Bible teaches us, I think, that we ought to set some goals in life, and we ought to strive to accomplish them. Now, let me read you a verse. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 5 says, if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. Here's talking about striving. What does it mean? There's a goal out there, and a man, some people choose to strive to reach that goal. There's a finish line out there, and some strive to reach that finish line. The word masteries there, it may mean that someone had a goal of mastering something. More than likely, it is an athletic term, like the Olympics. The Olympics would be the masteries of the athletic world. These are people that have mastered, and they have a goal to win the Olympics. But you see here, they're striving. Throughout the Bible, God, using his own words, talks to us about our desires, our purposes, our goals. And he says we should be striving to accomplish those goals. Goals can be an important element in regard to our success. A man named Zig Ziglar said, people with goals succeed because they know where they're going. You hear that? People with goals succeed because they know where they are going. Let me apply that real quickly here, if I could. There are folks here, you're a little aimless in life, and that's a good word to use. You're not aiming at anything. You're a little frustrated with your life because you're not real sure where it's going. You feel like you're treading water. You feel like a dog that's chasing its own tail. Well, you see, people with goals succeed because they know where they are going. Dr. Lewis said, you are never too old to set a new goal or dream a new dream. You are never too old to set a new goal or dream a new dream. John Dewey said, arriving at one goal should be the starting point of another goal. Arriving at one goal should be the starting point of another goal. Henry Ford said, obstacles are those frightful things you see when you take your eyes off your goal. Abraham Lincoln said, a goal properly set is halfway reached. Vince Lombardi said, the goal of perfection is not attainable, but if we chase perfection, we can catch excellence. What are your life's goals? Do you have goals? Did you know that life is not supposed to happen to you, you're supposed to happen to life? Too many of you just throw your life to the world, throw your life to chance and say, well, let's just see what happens, not me. I want to make something happen. I'm going somewhere on purpose. I have desires. There are those things for which I strive. I want to achieve certain things. You have a life. Don't waste it. And don't just live it at random. What are your life's goals? Do you have any? You will feel very aimless without some goals. I set some goals for my life when I was a young man. I'll give you a couple of them, and I take them very seriously. I have not taken my eyes off of these goals. Now, there have been times when the devil's hit me and tried to get me not seeing straight about my goals. There have been times when life has brought me challenges, and those challenges made it tougher to keep my eyes on the goals. But thank God, at least for the moment, thank God for the grace of God, and thank God that God has helped me so far to keep these goals in view, and I'm still striving for these goals. And again, most of these goals are goals I set when I was a teenager. For instance, I set a goal when I was a teenager to get married and stay married. That was my goal. I wanted that. I desired that. It was a passion of mine. And so, to date, we've accomplished that. Now, that was a goal of mine. I had another goal. I wanted to keep my family in the right kind of church all of my life. We started having children, and we decided we're not going to play religion. We want to keep our family in old-fashioned fundamental Baptist church. As my children have grown up and left home, they have to make those choices for themselves. But now it's Mrs. Owens and I, and we're alone, and thank God for it. But our plan is to keep ourselves in the right kind of a church all of our life. That was a goal that I set as a very young man. I set a goal that I would stay in the ministry till I die. Now, there are those that would like to help me finish that one off today. But I want that, and I can't tell you. It's a challenge to me, and I promise you that the devil doesn't like that goal. Then I set the goal. I want to stay faithful to the old-time fundamentals of the faith. I set that as a goal as a young man. I'm not going the contemporary route. I'm not going to change what I believe and where I stand. I want to be faithful all the way to the end to the old-time religion. That's what I want. Those are some goals that I set as a young man. Now, let me tell you something. You need to get you some goals. I would say to you, there are some who have maybe their goals were not exactly like mine, but I'll tell you something. There are some that could have accomplished some of the goals that I set, but the only problem is they never set those goals. They never let that become a passion of theirs. They never decided that they would strive to reach those goals. They could have, had they maybe made it their target. They could have, if they would have looked at the finish line and said, these things I want to carry all the way to the finish line, but they never did. They never got that as an end accomplishment or a desire. Now, you know something? I would rather shoot at something and miss than to shoot at nothing and hit. You say, well, Brother Holmes, if I set a goal, there's the chance I won't reach it. Absolutely. But I'd rather go down having attempted than to go down having not attempted. Again, I'd rather shoot at something and miss than shoot at nothing and hit. You know, if you don't set any goals and your life doesn't turn out very well, you're all right, aren't you? The only thing is you messed up your life. You know, we have so much fear of failure that we won't set certain goals, goals that would take us out of our comfort zone, because, you know, if you don't set lofty goals and you fail, what's the difference? Well, the difference is you wasted your life. We have so many fears of not accomplishing the goal. And again, I'd rather shoot at something and miss it than to shoot at nothing and hit it. Let me share with you, during the very first week of 2009, let me share with you some ideas about this thing of goals. Like I said, you want to call them desires or purposes, you call them what you want. I'm going to use the term goals. Let me help you today. If you're a guest here today, you'll find out that this church and this pulpit is given to practical teaching of the Bible that helps people to succeed in their Christian life. That's what I want for you. And I know you watch all the psychologists on television and everybody in their newspapers are all talking about the New Year's resolutions and all of that. Let me give you a spiritual twist on the very same thing, and probably you can go to the bank on this a little better than what you can with Dr. Phil and Oprah and all those that are your heroes that, you know, you're going to use to help you get you through your year. Now listen to me this morning, and I can help you. First of all, let me say this about these things called goals. Satan has goals for your life. Satan has goals for your life. It's simple. Satan wants you to sin. That's one of his goals for your life. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, it is Satan's goal that you not trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The minute, if you're here and you're not a born-again Christian, if you're here and you've never been saved, the minute the devil watched you pull on this property, he said, my goal for you in 2009, my goal for you today is that you do not respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ and get saved at the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. That's one of his goals. You see, his goal for you is that you sin. His goal for you is that you reject Christ or you continue in your unsaved condition. His goal for you is that you not reach God's goals for your life. Satan has some goals for your life. One of his goals is that you do not reach the goals that God has for your life. You know something? I wish I had time to develop this thought entirely. I will not. But Satan does not mind if you do what you want. But he just doesn't want you to do what God wants with your life. See, Satan does not oppose your goals for your life. Satan opposes God's goals for your life. Now you say, but my goals and God's goals, they're alike. Okay, then Satan opposes that. But you see, when you set goals for your life, and they're not in unity or in unison with God's goals for your life, Satan doesn't care what you do as long as you don't do what God wants you to do. Your own goals for your life or Satan's goals for your life are both fine as long as God's goals for your life are not reached. I believe Satan has a goal that you set no goals. Why? So you can reach no goals. I think there are some you should be striving for more in your Christian life. You should be striving for more in your life in general. And Satan wants you to continue to flounder. He wants you to continue to have no goals. He wants you to, there are some of you, and you'll hear me allude to this from time to time. There are some of you, you're in your senior years, and you've got this idea, well, what you're supposed to do is to coast to the finish line. I don't see coasting anywhere in the Bible. I love the people that their hair has turned gray or, in some cases, turned loose. And I'm going to tell you something. Don't you give up. Don't you quit. You keep going all the way to the finish line. Hey, be prepared now. If you set some goals, then Satan, if those goals are God's goals, then Satan is going to oppose those goals. If the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church pulls together and sets some lofty goals for 2009, I'll guarantee at the very same moment, the devil and the imps of hell will say, we have some goals to oppose that church's goals. Satan has a goal that you set, no goals. Hey, are Satan's goals being reached in your life? Are Satan's goals being accomplished in your life? He has a list of things he wants to accomplish in your life. He has a list of things he does not want you to do. He has a list of things that he wants to see undone. He has a list of things, bad things, that he wants you to do. And is he going through his list with his pen out saying, well, I got her on that one. Got him on that one. Got him on that one. They're never going to do that one. Got him. Got him. goals. God wants you to have His goals. You say, well, there's some of you, you'll struggle with God about that. Let me promise you something. God's goals for your life are better than your goals. God's goals for your life are going to be more fulfilling. God's goals for your life are going to be more rewarding. God's goals for your life are going to be safer. God's goals for your life are the best goals for your life. But Satan opposes those goals. So number one, Satan has a goal for your life. Number two, make your ultimate goal to please God in all that you do. That's a very simple start. That's a very simple place to go in your mind, in your thinking, and in your organization. You say, okay, Brother Owens, where do I start on this thing of setting goals? Okay, this is what you do. Make your ultimate goal that you will please God in all that you do. Let this be a lifelong goal. It ought to be that every born-again Christian, under the sound of my voice, if you have not already, you should establish today, is today January 4? Is that what it is? January 4, 2009, if you have not already, as of this day, you ought to establish the goal, I want to please God in all that I do. Make it a lifetime goal. Make it one of those things that you're going to strive for. And though the devil makes it hard, you're not going to get off track. And if you do get off track, you'll get back on track because you've got a lifelong goal. Hey, but you're going to have to make it more than a lifelong goal. You're going to have to make it a day-long goal. You see, to reach that lifelong goal, you'll have to have a day-long goal that all that I do pleases God. Hey, and then never give up on this goal. Never. All other goals in your life ought to be built on this goal. The goal of pleasing God in all that I do for the Christian is the foundational goal. It is the first rung of the ladder on which all other steps in your life of goals should be set. If you will decide, I want to please God in all that I do, and then every other goal in life, whatever that goal is, whatever the career, whatever the job selection, whatever the schooling, whatever it is, I want to please God. All my other goals have got to line up with pleasing God. Not my goals, but God's goals, and you will succeed in life. You will fulfill the purpose for which you were created. And you know that God didn't create you and just throw you down here on the earth and say, well, let's see how you do. God said, I created you and I have a plan for you. I have some goals for you. I have some things I want you to do. Now go find them and go do them. And you say, well, where do I find it? Where do I find it? You start out by saying, number one, everything I do in my life has got to please God. And if a choice or a decision comes to me and it is not pleasing to God, I can't do it. I can't take that job. I can't marry that person. I can't go to that place. Why? It's not in line with the foundational part of my life, which is the goal to do everything that God wants me to do. Let God be pleased in all that I do. You know what you're going to have to do with this one then? You're going to have to keep the pressure on yourself regarding this goal. This is the one that will influence all the other goals that you set. You got to keep pressure on yourself. Regarding what? Your ultimate goal, pleasing God in all, I said all that you do. That's not a goal to please God on Sunday morning for a couple hours. That's to please God on Sunday morning and Sunday afternoon and Sunday night and Monday morning and Monday afternoon and Monday night. And on Friday night. And on Saturday. And in the summer on vacation. When nobody sees you, that is the ultimate goal, to please God with all your life. You won't accomplish what God wants you to accomplish in your life if you pull out parts of your life and say, now God, I'll give you this part, but you can't have this part. The very first thing that a Christian ought to do is set a goal to please God in all that they do. So, I said number one, Satan has goals for your life. Is he fulfilling them? Are they being accomplished with your help? Number two, make your ultimate goal to please God in all you do. Number three, after you have decided that you want to please God in all that you do, number three, you set a goal to always do your best. Always do your best. You know, God deserves your best. God deserves your best. Your best is best for you. Your best is best for God. Your best is best for your church. Your best is best for your husband. Your best is best for your wife. Your best is best for your children. Your best is best for your mom and dad. Your best is best for your employers. Your best is best for your boss. Everybody is to do your best. Christians, wake up. Stop being satisfied with piddling in life and give your best. At what? Everything. You say, that's tense. Well, you poor little thing. You got a lazy bone that's too long. Christians are to give their best. That makes us different than the world. You see, as Christians, we realize Satan has some goals for our life, and we don't want him to achieve those goals. We have set a goal. That goal is that God be pleased in all that we do. And the only way, if we've set that goal, that we will do it properly is that we give our best. When you do your best, listen to this, when you do your best, but you fall short on other goals, you're still a success. You know that if you set a particular goal in life, and you didn't reach that goal, but you gave your best to reach that goal, you're still a success because your best will determine your goals. God can't expect any more than your best, but he can expect your best. I like the song. It's in our songbook. I have a copy of it here. It's the song, Our Best. It goes, hear ye the master's call, give me thy best, for be it great or small, that is his test. Do then the best you can, not for reward, not for the praise of man, but for the Lord. Every work for Jesus will be blessed, but he asked from everyone his best. Our talents may be few, these may be small, but unto him is due our best, our all. You say, you know, Brother Owens, I look at some people and they have so much talent and so much ability, I can't be like them. You don't have to be like them. You've got to give your best. You don't have to give my best, and I don't have to give your best, but you've got to give your best, and I've got to give my best, and anything less than that, we're not doing what God wants us to do. And if you set a goal and you didn't make it to that particular goal, but within that goal you said, I will give my best for that goal, you have not failed if you don't reach the finish line of that goal if you have given your best. Give your best. See, Satan has goals for your life. Make your ultimate goal to please God in all things. Set a goal to always give your best. Now, let me say this, number four. I think everybody ought to get some lifetime goals. I mean, these are some of them big whoppers. That thing that says, in my lifetime. Now, folks, let me warn you. The older you get, the more important something like what I'm about to say is going to be, but some are looking back and saying, why didn't somebody tell me that when I was 20? I can't tell you how often people come to me after I preach a particular sermon and say, Brother Owens, I wish to God I would have heard what you just said 40 years ago. I wish to God I would have heard that 30 years ago. Well, those of you that are still breathing air, you're hearing it. And so, remember, you're never too old to set a new goal. You're never too old to have a new dream. If you're alive, then you have life to live. That means you have something to accomplish. God doesn't leave people down here just to be bookmarks or formats. He leaves them here to be tools, tools of accomplishment. And so there's something for you to do. Some of you need to get some lifetime goals. You say, but my life is basically past. Set a goal from here to the end. You're worried about from here back. We can't do anything about from here back. Whether you're 100 years old or 10 years old under the sound of my voice, you need to get some goals for your life from here on out. From here on out. Some of you, we could pump some new life into you if you just get some spiritual goals. You say, but what's happened in the past? There's not much we can do about the past. From here on out is your goal. There, everybody here that is married, set a goal. Say what? Stay married. Stay married. If more people would go into marriage with that goal, they'd probably make it. Because I'd rather shoot at something and fail than shoot at nothing and succeed. We live in a culture today where we say, if you get married, it doesn't work out. There are ways out. I don't think I'd want to marry someone that had that opinion. I'd like to marry somebody that's do or die. You got a better chance of making it. Did you know that losing can become habitual? Habit forming. So can winning. I'd like to form the habit of winning, the habit of succeeding. And you just take a good look at people that succeed continuously. They've got an attitude of success. I didn't start to fail. I started to accomplish. And some of you young married people need to get that in your brain and stop sucking in all the philosophy of the world. Hey, if God puts you together, God can keep you together. Make it your goal. And I know there are some of you say, but the ones, it's too late. I mean, my marriage is already passed. I'm divorced. Around here, you're not considered a second-class citizen. If it were not for the grace and the mercy of God, we'd all be in that shape. You say, well, I'm on my second marriage. Then keep that one. You say, well, I'm on my third. Then keep that one. From here on out. But some of you need some lifetime goals. Somebody here today needs to set a lifetime goal. I will never quit church. Yes, sir. Yeah, there are people that you're in and out and in and out and in and out of church, and I'm glad you always come back. Yes, but you know something that would help you? If you determine my goal is to never quit church. Amen. The people that drop out and don't come back, usually it is not a lack of character. It was a lack of a goal at the finish line. Yes, sir. What's another lifetime goal? How about this one? To not let my life become bitter. I'll tell y'all something. I determined a long time ago, when I was warned about going into the ministry, I had people almost scare me to death about going into the ministry. It's going to be tough. People are not going to like you. You're going to be the bullseye of all people's dislikes, etc., etc., etc. And I determined, when it comes, I'm going to stay a happy man. I'm going to have the joy of the Lord. I want to be like a cat with my spiritual attitude and always land on my feet with the smile up. I want to have the joy of the Lord. I want the joy of the Lord to be my strength. Some of you need to decide, I am not going to grow old and be bitter. You say, oh, what do I do? Some of you are bitter right now. Now, you better set the goal that you're going to get that fixed up. And have you ever met some of the people in a nursing home that are nasty and vile and mean and old? They didn't set a goal not to get bitter in their old age. I don't want to be mad at the world. Now, this world's not my home. I'm just passing through. But I want to tell you something. I'm going to be a happy Christian while I'm passing through. I am not going to just endure. Boy, I hear preachers all the time. This is so bad. Shut up. How in the world can you encourage God's people to have a happy smile on their face if the preacher's whining all the time? The hardship's going to come your way, and it comes my way. But let me tell you something, folks. You have yours, I have mine. But I've still got a Savior. I'm on my way to heaven. And we've got to get some goal, get a goal not to become a bitter person in life. Another goal. How about to let no burden or heartache keep you down? Man. Now, I don't have a goal to not let them get me down, because every once in a while they do. Some of those heartaches and some of those burdens get pretty heavy sometimes. But it is my goal to not let it keep me down. Yeah. Keep me down. Some mother here needs to set a goal on never giving up on your children. Never. I said never. I'll never forget the day that my wife came to me, brokenhearted. I could not mention names, and it was not here, but my wife came to me, and she was crying. I said, honey, what in the world is wrong? She said, I just talked to a mother. I had mentioned to her one of her kids. And when I mentioned to her one of her kids, that mother said, that's not my son anymore. She had disclaimed that child. Well, you better hope to God that your God never disclaims you. You say, well, my child hurt me. Don't you think you've hurt your Heavenly Father? Somebody, some mama in here needs to get their head screwed on straight and say, you know what, I'm never going to give up on my kids. I'm gonna love them. Win or lose. Hey, maybe you need to write some long-term goals in your Bible. Senior citizen, could I give you a little piece of advice? Don't die until you're dead. Don't die until you're dead. My wife, she tells me things. She said, I worry about when you get old. She said, I can't imagine controlling you. I hope it's that way. I don't plan to rot. I don't want to rust out. And if I do, I'm going to get everything done with my bucket of rust that I can. Oh, I'll tell you something. When I would watch Dr. Lee Robertson walk on a platform at 95, 96 years of age, he didn't even have to preach a sermon. He preached a sermon by walking on the platform saying, I've been preaching for 65 years and I didn't quit and I'm not done and I'm not going to be done until I draw my last breath. And some of you, as you grow older, if you're not careful, you're going to retire on life. Get you a new goal. Get you a new goal. You see, Satan has some goals for your life. You ought to make your ultimate goal to please God in all that you do. Then you set the goal to give your best at all that you do. Get you some lifetime goals. Then you probably need to get you what I'd call some long-term goals. These aren't necessarily lifetime goals. These are goals that may take a little longer to achieve, but they may not take a lifetime to achieve. Teenager, you ought to get it. Now, those of you who go to the Martinsburg Christian Academy, you ought to set a goal to graduate. You ought to set a goal to graduate. Bible college student, I had to set a goal that I was going to graduate, and I did. It was my goal. You ought to set a goal. Some of you, probably this is a good time to say it, some of you ought to set a goal that you're going to pay that house off. You're going to make it. See, I'm going to figure it out. And I'm going to make it. And the day will come. It may take me the full 30 years. But I'm going to figure it out. Set that as a goal. What's your goal? That doesn't necessarily have to be a lifetime goal. You may get that thing paid off in your 50s. You may get it paid off at the beginning of your 60s. I don't know. But you can still make it. Somebody here needs to set a long-term goal to raise your children in the right way, in the right church, in the right kind of a school. Hey, listen, I recently talked to an educator. I said, tell me something. There's a man who's a Christian educator, well-known in America. I said, tell me, what do you see as the biggest trend and mistakes that parents are making in regard to their children's education? He said, today, parents let their kids choose what schooling they have. They choose whether they go to a public school, a Christian school. They let the kids choose it. He said, I don't remember when in my generation kids picked where they went to school. It's a parent's job to lead that child. Hey, listen, set yourself some long-term goals. Set yourself some lifetime goals. And then you may need to set yourself, and this is point number six, you may need to get yourself some short-term goals. These are those little stepping stones that help you get to the long-term goals, that help you to get to the lifetime goals. Lifetime's the whole life. Long-term are longer spans within the life. Some short-term goals are those little baby steps, those daily steps that help us to achieve the ultimate goal. Short-term goals added together help us to reach long-term goals. Achieving our short-term goals can keep us encouraged as we strive for the long-term goals. You know, sometimes when you're trying to teach your child to read with the speedy reader, you can't look at all the way at the end of the book. You just got to look at the next 20 minutes. Say, we're going to make it through the next 20 minutes. We'll make it through the next page. Some short-term goals make a difference. You graduate from Martinsburg Christian Academy by passing your daily courses. You say it just seems overwhelming. I've got 5 more years of school. It's overwhelming to me. How can I do it? Set a goal to graduate, then set a goal to just show up at school every day and do your work. Do your homework on Monday. Do your homework on Tuesday. You reach long-term goals of paying off your mortgage by paying your monthly mortgage payment. If you're not careful, you look at that thing and you figure it up and you say, good night in the morning. 30 years. That could get a little overwhelming. Well, you set a goal to reach the 30 years, but I'll tell you this, what you do is you just pay January. And you work all the way through March on March 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 and 9. And you work on the 10th and the 11th and the 12th. And you save on the 13th and you save on the 14th and the 15th and the 16th and the 17th. And finally, you'll get to the end of the month and you say, now I'm going to make this one. And I'm going to get to the end of this destination. But I'll get there with my short-term goals. My short-term goal is to pay my mortgage payment every month. Well, then what you're probably going to have to do is have a short-term goal not to waste all your money on the first if you've got a mortgage payment on the last. That's how you do it. You say, I'm going to set that long-term lifetime goal, Brother Owens, of staying in church. I would like to die with my children and my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren saying, my grandma, my mom, my dad, my grandfather was faithful to church. He didn't dabble with church. He was faithful. He was a pillar in the church. He was just there. And everybody knew it. Everybody knew him because he was just there. How are you going to do that? By showing up church tonight. And then Wednesday night, and then the next Sunday. You do it one service at a time. One service at a time. You see, Satan has some goals for your life, folks. He's going through some of those goals and he's putting check marks by them as you help him to accomplish those goals. But what you ought to do is say, I am going to set some goals. My ultimate goal is that I please God in all that I do. That will be the foundation of every decision that I make from here on out. I then, to help accomplish that goal properly, I will set the goal of doing my best at all that I do. So if I set a target and I don't reach it, if I've done my best, I have really reached the goal because I've given my best and that's all that God could expect. Then I'm going to get me some lifetime goals, goals that will take my whole life to achieve them. But then probably to reach those, I'll need some long-term goals. Some of those goals that are 4 years and 6 years and 8 years and maybe 18 years of rearing my kids. But those goals, those long-term goals, will help me to reach my lifelong goals. But wait a minute. If I'm going to reach those long-term goals, I'll probably need some short-term goals. I'll have to break that thing down. If I want it said at my funeral that this lady was faithful, she was in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night for 60 years, then I'll have to set the goal just to show up at the next service. And then the goal to show up at the next service. I'm not going to make excuses. I'm going to overcome the excuses, but I'm going to get me some short-term goals that will help me with my long-term goals, that will help me to fulfill my lifelong goals, which is to do my best for my God so I don't fulfill the devil's goals for my life. Does that make sense to you? I'm not sure we can make it much simpler. Hey, you say, Brother Owens, and here's where some of you, I'm going to be honest. This is something that I have had to do in my life. If you have already achieved many of your life's goals, then get you some new ones. Those of you that are 40, 50, maybe time for some of you to stoke up some new goals. Some of you said, I want to rear my kids. You did. So I want to get a career that I can support my family with. You did. Find a house. And remember back when you were younger and you set some of those goals and you've reached them? And you say, well, I'm going through my midlife crisis. You're going through a goalless crisis. You work hard. Look, when you had a goal, you worked toward it and you strived and everything you did had to do with your kids and your marriage and your house and your business. But now, you know, you've started to accomplish some of those and you're beginning to wonder, well, why is my life kind of frustrating like it is? You were happy when you had goals. Listen, once you've achieved a goal, that is not the end purpose. It usually is not the reaching of the goal that makes you. It is the struggle to get to the goal that made you happy. Do you know the happiest day for the people that win the Super Bowl is not winning the Super Bowl? It was the struggle getting to the point where you win a Super Bowl? Because you win a Super Bowl, it's over. Bang, it's done. One day, it's a done deal. You know what they really remember? It's not necessarily that Super Bowl game. It's everything that brought them to it. The work and the struggle and the work and the striving. Churches die. I'll tell you how they die. I've watched churches. They wanted this big new church auditorium. They're going to get in this new church auditorium. They worked. They saved. They struggled. They built. They got it. Everybody come in, plunked her down, got comfortable and said, well, let's just enjoy this thing. You'll mess up. Usually it is not the achievement that brings the accomplished feeling in life. It was the struggle to get to the achievement. I know that's a fact. The great part about life is not just the day you pay off the mortgage. It was the fact that you and your wife, you pulled together and you work and you made it happen and you sacrifice and you work and you work and you work and your kids got character by watching you do it and people watched you and you didn't give up and you kept working at it and working at it and working at it. Look, if somebody came along and paid off every mortgage in this house, you'd be happy for a short time and you might have been better off just paying it yourself for 30 years and going through the struggle, because struggle brings a sweetness. That's what the Bible says. Desire accomplished is sweetness to the soul. Get you some short-term goals. Hey, listen. I said if you've already achieved many of your life's goals, get you some new ones. Let me say this. You say, I failed at some of my life goals, and they're no longer available to me. Then set some new ones. And if some of the ones you failed at are still attainable, get back after them. Let me go on. Number 7. Set some goals about your weaknesses. Some of you have temper problems. Set some goals. Some of you are too impatient. Set some goals. Set some goals about your insecurities and your lack of promptness. Set some goals about your lack of drive. Set some goals about your doubt and your lack of faith in your life. Set some goals about your vices. This is not a sermon about your sin. It's a sermon that will help you to overcome your sin. You say, I've got a problem with my smoking, my drinking, or my drugs. Set some goals. Overcome. Accomplish. You can do it. Fix some frustrations in your life. There's some things in your life that frustrate you routinely. It's just going to take a little work and a little planning to fix those frustrations, and they could be eliminated. Set some goals about your time wasting. Do you know how wasteful we are? Did you know that you have as much time in your day as I have in my day? How much of yours do you waste? Have you learned how to use a minute? Do minutes mean nothing to you? You know, minutes add up to hours, which add up to days, which add up to weeks, which add up to months, which add up to years, which add up to decades. But let's not waste them. Let's set some goals spiritually. Some of you need to set the goal to read your Bible like you're supposed to. Read it daily. Somebody here needs to set a goal to read your Bible all the way through this year. Somebody here needs to set a goal to start reading your Bible on a daily basis. You need to set a goal to start praying on a daily basis. Somebody here needs to set a goal about winning some souls to Christ, showing up for soul winning on a weekly basis. Somebody here needs to set a goal about how many people you'd like to win to Christ this year. You say, but wonder if I don't reach that goal. Do your best. Set a goal. Do your best. We'll figure out which one works. You might supersede your goal if you'll do your best and your goal is too low. You say, but I don't want to miss it. I'd rather shoot at something and miss than shoot at nothing and hit. Some of you need to set a goal about your tithing and your giving. Somebody here needs to set a goal about getting involved in the church and becoming a participator and stop being just a spectator. Somebody here needs to set a goal for the first time in your life since God became your God, since you got saved. It's time for you to get to know God. There are people here, He is your Savior, but as far as you having an intimate, deep relationship with God, He seems distant to you still. It's time for you to set the goal of getting close for the first time in your life to God. I have set some goals. I set some goals for my life this year. I set the goal to learn how to use a computer. You're looking at a man that is computer autistic. I can turn it on sometimes. I have in my office, I've got a new laptop. It's a Hewlett Packard. It's a notebook style. It's got a swivel screen on it. I can write on my. It's called a notebook type. I can write on the screen, and it transcribes it into typing. I am now officially a computer geek. I didn't want to learn the computer. I thought, I'll just let my secretaries do that. But I have realized I've got 20 to 25 years of ministry left, and I don't want to be like John McCain. I got convicted there beating up McCain because he was kind of computer illiterate in this generation. Everybody's saying, well, you know, he's behind times. I thought, well, I don't want to be behind times. So I got me a computer. I got me a cell phone. It's an iPhone. Now, just so you know, it's on vibrate. That's where it goes, and you feel it. This thing is so cool. If you would like to know the temperature right now, I can give you. I got this little dude here, and I can turn the pages. No, I don't want that one. You stupid thing! Don't act up now. We're in front of people. Yeah, this right. It is a long-term goal. So you know, right now, in Kathmandu, Nepal, it is 55 degrees and sunny. We can download in this little phone dealy dude right here, I can do the entire church directory, so I can call you anywhere I am, any time of the day. Okay. And if you click it, listen. Oh, it's on vibrate. That's why you can't hear it. Listen. Oh, long-term goal. I have set some goals. I'm going to learn how to use these mechanisms. I am going to learn to use a computer. I am not going to get thick horn-rimmed glasses. I am not. I don't want to look that nerdy, and I don't want to look like Sarah Palin either. I've set the goal this year. I'm going to update my will. I've needed to update my will, and I'm getting ready for death. I'm not predicting death, but I'm going to get ready for death. This year, I've decided I'm going to write a new book. I author books. I've not written in a long time. I haven't had time for 7 years. I've worked at this church, but this year I've decided I've got to write a new book. This year I'm going to get closer to my kids. It's my goal. Especially to my children's spouses. And I'm very close to them. We've never had one moment of tension. Hey. Hey. Who called me? All right. I'll buy me a pizza. Now I don't know what to do. Okay. All right, they got it. I have set a goal to get closer to my children's spouses. You know, Corey and Savannah and JV, I've never had one moment's tension with any one of them. Not a moment's tension. Not a moment of discomfort, but I want you guys to know. More and more, I want you to be able to feel like you can call me dad, and you're my kids. That's my goal. I set a goal. I set a goal to make the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church stronger in 2009. Not necessarily larger. Larger comes if strong is there. Stronger. I set a goal to help Martinsburg Christian Academy to go to a higher level academically and spiritually. I set a goal to work on my soul winning. I set a goal between God and I to prove and demonstrate my love for this church more than ever. I want you to have a pastor. When you look at him, you can say, that man loves me. He loves me. I want that. I don't want anyone to doubt that. I set a goal to get back on my diet. I told God, I'm giving up pumpkin rolls for the year. Mrs. Owens and I, we eat primarily organic. And we try, and I've got a regimen of vitamins. And I've kept my regimen of vitamins, but I've gotten off track on my eating. And I told God, I'm straightening that out. I want to straighten that out. And one reason why is I want to be around a long time. I want to live. As long as God's going to give me, I want to be productive. I want to be healthy. I want to feel good while I do it. Some goals. I don't know about you, but I have discovered that my goals have something to do with what little bit of success that I achieve in life. And I think it's so for you. And if you don't have goals, you're probably not getting anywhere fast. And if you had goals, even if you have gotten somewhere without them, you probably get somewhere quicker and more durable if you got you some good spiritual goals. But let's do this, if nothing else. Let's not fulfill the devil's goals. He's got a list. He's checking them off as you submit to them and you make wrong changes and moves in your life. If you're here today and you're not saved, if you died today and you're not 100% sure you go to heaven, let me tell you right now, the devil's goal is that you leave this building having not trusted Christ. God has a goal for your life, and that is that you trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior today. I hope this is a sermon that will do its work far past these walls, but into our week, into